From North State Public Radio, I'm Eric Adams with your headlines for Friday, February 6th. Homeowners insured under the FAIR plan don't give it high marks. The plan was created as a safety net nearly 60 years ago to provide basic property insurance in high-risk areas and communities affected by redlining. That role expanded after the 2018 Camp Fire, as private insurers pulled back. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with California's insurance commissioner about a new bill aiming to correct the plan's deficiencies. Stick around to hear the full conversation later in headlines. Big news for Glenn County yesterday. The federal government has restored Glenn Medical Center's critical access designation. It's a key step toward reopening the county's only hospital and emergency room. County Supervisor Monica Rossman says reopening the hospital was critical. Residents have had to travel to neighboring counties for emergency care.
It wasn't a want. This is, we need it. We have to have it. The sad thing is if we didn't have it, there was going to be lives that were going to be lost.
The fix came through bipartisan legislation pushed by California Senator Adam Schiff and the late Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
We owe it to our constituents in order to make sure that, you know, they get the best care possible and that whenever they need it, it should be there.
But challenges remain. County Supervisor Jim Yoder says a big one is finding money for needed upgrades or a rebuild.
Because the existing hospital does have seismic issues, it has size issues, it has issues that may not be very easily overcome.
Hospital administrators say the cost to reopen could be up to $100 million. Yoder says they're working on a plan for the funding. So is Schiff.
We're in it for the long haul. It's going to take a couple of years to make this thing happen either way. But it's moving forward.
Until then, residents continue to face potential delays in getting emergency care. A wolf attacked a steer in the Four Corners area of Quincy early Wednesday morning. It's an area often used by hikers, cyclists, and dog walkers. While wolf attacks on humans are very rare, local authorities are telling recreators to stay vigilant. The Plumas County Sheriff's Office says the wolf that attacked the steer may still be in the area. Wolf footprints were found nearby, as well as blood and hair from the steer. DNA samples are now being investigated to connect the wolf to its pack, though the Sheriff's Office tells NSPR it's unclear when results will be ready or if the DNA is usable by the lab. The incident is part of a growing pattern as California's wolf population expands, leading some sheriffs and ranchers to call for more state support. Butte County is reporting its first flu deaths of the season. In a press release yesterday, the county's public health department said two people in their 50s have died from complications related to the illness. The department says the deaths highlight a serious risk of seasonal flu. Residents are being urged to get vaccinated. Free flu shots are available on a walk-in basis at the Chico Public Health Clinic on Notre Dame Boulevard and the Oroville Public Health Clinic on Table Mountain Boulevard. President Donald Trump has endorsed Republican Assemblymember James Gallagher to finish Doug LaMalfa's term in the House of Representatives. NSPR's Claudia Brancart has more.
In a post on social media yesterday, Trump said Gallagher would be aligned with the administration's policies on the economy, agriculture, and immigration. Gallagher welcomed Trump's endorsement in a social media post. He said he'd work with the administration on lowering taxes and the cost of living for families. He didn't mention immigration. But in an interview with Fox 40 in Sacramento last week, Gallagher stood behind the federal immigration agents in Minneapolis, saying they have a sworn duty to enforce immigration laws. Chico Democrat Audrey Denny is challenging Gallagher in the special election for LaMalfa's seat. In a statement to NSPR, she said voters should pick Gallagher if, quote, you want Washington ruled by the whims of Donald Trump. Denny has condemned the president's immigration tactics. In Chico, I'm Claudia Brancart.
The Small Business Administration is offering disaster loans in several North State counties following flooding in December. Low-interest loans are available in Shasta, Tehama, Siskiyou, Plumas, and Trinity counties. Residents can borrow up to $100,000 to replace personal property. Homeowners can borrow up to $500,000 to repair or replace their homes. Businesses can access up to $2 million. The agency is opening an outreach center at Reading City Hall starting at noon today to help with applications. California labor leaders are calling on Governor Gavin Newsom to establish more guardrails for AI use in workplaces. Cap Radio's Laura Fitzgerald reports labor organizations say human jobs are at stake.
Union leaders from California and around the country say stronger AI regulations are their top issue for coming elections.
We're seeing the job losses. We're seeing the surveillance tools that are being used against union members and other workers. We're seeing the safety issues.
Lorena Gonzalez heads the California Federation of Labor Unions. She criticized Newsom for not coming to the table on legislation to regulate AI.
And we're seeing absolutely no engagement by a governor who says he wants to be president.
Newsom hasn't announced a run for president, but is widely expected to run in 2028. He's signed bills establishing AI guardrails, particularly for children. But legislation targeting AI use in workplaces has stalled in recent years. Newsom vetoed a labor-backed bill to require human safety operators on self-driving big rigs. Business advocates say AI regulations can hamper innovation. Newsom has long touted California's booming tech industry. This year, labor leaders say they want to see Newsom support a number of bills. Those include one to require employers that lay off workers because of AI to give a 90-day notice. Another bans the use of surveillance tools in workplace bathrooms. Newsom's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment about labor criticisms. In Sacramento, I'm Laura Fitzgerald.
Local health departments throughout California are trying to track down people who may have been exposed to measles at Disneyland last month. The Plumas County Public Health Agency reports that at least 4 measles cases have been reported in the state over the last week. 3 had visited the theme park around January 28th. One of the cases is a Shasta County resident. Symptoms include a rash, high fever, and cough. The Plumas Health Department says people who think they have measles should isolate and call their medical provider before going in for care. It's tax season, and for former foster youth in California, there's money on the table many don't know about. A state tax credit worth nearly $1,200 a year is going unclaimed by thousands of young people. Cap Radio's Greg Misick reports on the effort to change that.
A converted tour bus is parked outside an apartment complex just north of Sacramento. Inside, volunteers with Federal Tax Assistance Program, VITA, are helping former foster youth file their returns.
I was always taught, like, you don't play with the alphabet boys, the IRS, you know, you don't play with them, so you definitely should file your taxes.
Star is 24 and lives at Academy Stay, a transitional housing program for former foster youth. Jenny Davidson is CEO of Academy Stay.
It's expensive out there, and so even mainstream kids are facing some financial difficulties in moving back home and things, but these folks that we're serving don't have a moving back home place.
VITA's tax prep volunteers are helping make sure these young adults don't leave money on the table.
The tax system is very complicated, and for a lot of these young people, they don't even realize that there's a foster youth tax credit available to them.
Some Academy Stay residents were able to go back and claim 3 years of missed credits, putting thousands of dollars in their pockets. Star already has plans for any refund she receives.
I'm just going to kind of like put it in my savings account so, you know, I have to start thinking about life after here.
Star is studying for her real estate license and planning to pursue a marketing degree. Her advice to other young people, file your taxes. Don't mess with the alphabet boys. In Sacramento, I'm Greg Michek.
After major wildfires like the Camp Fire, many Northern California homeowners saw their insurance premiums soar or lost coverage altogether. To fill that gap, California created the FAIR Plan. It's a last resort insurance program run by private insurers. But homeowners enrolled in the plan say it comes with high premiums, limited coverage, poor customer service, and little transparency. State regulators are also warning the plan may not have enough money on hand to cover future catastrophic fires. Assemblymember Lisa Calderon recently introduced legislation aimed at fixing those problems. The bill is called the Make It Fair Act, and it's sponsored by California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with Lara about the FAIR Plan and what the bill would change.
Families across the state have carried the burden long enough. We've been fighting for these reforms, quite honestly, for years now, and they've been challenging us in court. And so now it's time for us to take this to the legislature to grant me the, or grant the insurance commissioner, I should say, the authority to really do these long overdue, this long overdue overhaul in the FAIR plan.
And when you say they, you're referring to the insurance industry, I'm assuming.
Well, you know, the FAIR plan is run by the insurance companies. And so for me, it's one and the same.
What does the bill do? I know there are some consumer protections that are embedded in it.
It's a full modernization of the FAIR plan. And again, like I said, shaped by years of consumer hardship. First and foremost, it gives a strong oversight. It gives the insurance commissioner the authority to enforce reforms when the FAIR plan fails families. It gives better coverage. It allows the FAIR plan consumers to get more complete protection without buying multiple policies. And it gives real accountability. It requires the FAIR plan to follow key recommendations from our state examination, the same ones ignored for years, quite frankly. And then it provides key transparency. It makes the FAIR plan board meetings and documents public, just like any other insurance company. And I would just say the bottom line here is that the bill turns years of oversight and years of painful lessons from wildfires across California into real results for families who've been stuck in limbo.
Have insurance companies been honest participants in the in negotiating all this?
They've taken some of the recommendations and then they have fought me and others in court. I have to make sure that the next commissioner, as I get ready to term out, has the tools that I didn't have when these fires happened since 2019, beginning with Paradise. And the fact is that the number one complaints we get are from the FAIR plan. And consumers should be able to have somebody on the other line when they call the FAIR plan to get these clarifications before a disaster, during a disaster, and after a disaster. And so we want basic consumer, you know, customer service in the FAIR plan. They should not be waiting hours to get and understand what their policy looks like. We should make sure that they can have access to a comprehensive coverage so that they're not buying wraparound insurance, which only exacerbates the cost of their policy. But, you know, we're working very diligently to get them out of the FAIR plan. And we have a plan to do that with our sustainable insurance strategy. But in the meantime, let's provide basic oversight, better coverage, real accountability, and the transparency, just like any other insurance company has to maintain. The FAIR plan needs to have that. And so that's what we're doing with this bill.
Some of the largest insurers have abandoned California in the last few years. Where are they now? I know you've made a concerted effort to get them back. How's that going?
Well, you know, we're seeing real progress now because of our sustainable insurance strategy, where we've really worked to modernize our entire market. And that's really taken, you know, us to the next level, where our sustainable insurance strategy is really the most significant insurance reform in 30 years, where we become the only state that requires insurers to expand coverage in high-risk areas, which is very important for your listeners up in you know, in those neck of the woods. It recognizes, you know, mitigation and all that important home hardening. It modernizes wildfire modeling. It ensures that reinsurance costs are justified, and it increases transparency and accountability. And insurers are already, again, filing under our new sustainable insurance strategies, but they're committing to staying in California and growing their footprint. And so more insurers are in active discussions with our department.
That was California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara speaking with NSPR's Ken Duvall. And those were your headlines for Friday, February 6th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, visit our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eric Adams.